Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Tata Coffee Q2 FY 2019-20 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vismaya Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Tata Coffee for giving us the opportunity to host this earnings call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. Chakku Thomas, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkataraman, Executive Director of Finance and CFO. I now hand the call over to you, sir, for your opening comments.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining the call. This is Chakku Thomas. Let me start by saying that I'm very happy to report that quarter two, the company has delivered a good performance. While the PAT is higher compared to the same period last year, there has also been an overall improvement in the profitability over the previous year. The performance has generally been aided by the soluble coffee business delivering a higher quarterly sales volume, thereby performing better over the corresponding quarter of the previous year. On plantations, while coffee terminals have fallen off and also pepper prices have been under some stress, this has had consequent impact on the profitability, but we have been able to keep it in check through our efficiency improvement in our operations as well as our fairly robust order books and sales. As I mentioned earlier, pepper prices have been under stress due to continued non-conventional trade flows in from Vietnam, and the prices have fallen further by end of September. On the weather front, South India experienced a dry spell initially at the beginning of the year and then was followed by a very heavy wet spell towards the end of this quarter. We continue to drive significant efficiency improvement projects across the company. Additionally, in order to better predict and monitor weather conditions in the coming critical harvest period, we have actually partnered with a leading weather forecasting company and deployed a robust weather forecasting system across our estates. This, I think, will also help us plan our operations better. On the ICD in particular, very pleased to report that our India instant coffee business continues to perform well, registering higher volumes as compared to the previous year. And we've also seen some very good performances across all the geographies. The Vietnam project and the state-of-the-art factory that we have has started and, of course, continues on a healthy note. Production and dispatches have ramped up, and the plant is expected to reach very high capacity utilizations in the second half. We have also got a very good order book for the coming quarters. Some other highlights. The company, in its endeavor to diversify, has embarked on planting on a test basis avocado plants in its plantations in Coorg. Avocado is known as a wonder fruit and has seen exponential consumption growth in India and overseas, and this we feel has good potential for growth. Overall, the consolidated total income for the current quarter stood at 484 crores as against 461 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, an increase of about 5%. In summary, our strong focus on volume growth, cost and operational efficiencies, and good performances in all geographies have let us deliver a good financial performance in this quarter. I'll now quickly hand over the call to Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance.
Good morning to all. So as Chakku has summarized, the quarter has been quite a decent one for us. And on a standalone basis, the revenues have moved from 198 crores to 205 crores. This includes the dividend of about 2 million received from 8 o'clock coffee. And on the profit before exceptional, it's 28.3 as against 27.6. Last year, we had an impact of an exceptional item of sale of land, which was there. It is not there in the current year. And we have taken advantage of the lower tax rate as announced by the government. On the consolidated front, the total revenue is at 486 crores compared to 461, increase of around 5%. 8 o'clock also had a good year in terms of profits. They had an advantage of lower costs, overall costs, and some phasing of advertisement and promotion. Vietnam, as we explained, has already commenced production from May onwards, and sales have started happening there. And we have a healthy order book for the third and fourth quarters, which we are planning to execute. So this is the initial state, but obviously the overall results for the year for Vietnam should be good. With that, I sort of hand over the mic for questions. Thank you.
Should Hello? We open up for questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Percy here. I have three questions. First one is, your sales growth in the standalone business has slowed down from 26% in the previous quarter to 5% this quarter. So just wanted to understand why such a big slowdown in the top line growth. Secondly, can you tell us how much is the sale for the Vietnam plant in this quarter? And thirdly, if I look at the consolidated minus the standalone financials, there is a sharp improvement of about 720 basis points in the gross margin on a YOY basis. So what is the reason for this improvement despite the higher trade spends related to the 8 o'clock business?
Okay. So on the turnover front, it's little difficult for us to compare on that basis, because one is, of course, that we have the plantation side of the business, which is where the turnover is not uniform across the quarters. The first quarter, obviously, what is happening is the pepper, etc., is the, in terms of the maximum harvest for us, the completion happens in the last Q4, and then that spills into the Q1 in terms of sales. So to that
extent, I'm comparing on YOY basis. So this 26% is Q1 of this year versus Q1 of last year. So sir, seasonality is taken care of that, sir.
No, you are saying, we are now saying about Q2, no?
Q1 on a YOY basis, it was 26%. And Q2 also on a YOY, that is versus Q2 of last year, it is 5%. So basically, if we compare exactly 12 months ago, we are taking care of all the seasonality issues.
Crop, whatever is available.
No, crop, see, depends on, see, the way the crop gets sold is not uniform. See, that's where the issues will come. Because, see, we also take timing advantage in terms of terminals, etc., so that moves on that basis. So it may not be, strictly comparable in that sense.
So you may have availability of coffee at the end of the first quarter, yes, but if the prices are good and you have an idea that you could be selling more in that quarter, you generally tend to do that that way. So that's not very strictly comparable, as Venkat said.
Understood. So in Q2 on a YO...
I'll just explain, Percy, further. So really speaking, our instant coffee has registered a higher turnover. Roughly the turnover is more or less, you know, in line with the previous quarters and all that. There's no problem there. So what is happening is definitely, for example, Arabica, just to illustrate, I'm telling you, the quality sold in Q1 and Q2 are essentially different. Because, the, for example, the turnover, if you look at Arabica, is 7 crores for the quarter 1, and probably it will be 2 crores roughly in the Q2. So that is the reason why this is strictly not, it may not be comparable in that sense, because of the seasonal nature of the operation.
Understood, sir. Just one sub-question on this. On a YOY basis in Q2, that is Q2 this year versus last year, are the coffee prices per ton down or are they up?
So compared to last year, definitely they are down. And so there is an impact on that also.
Okay, and compared to Q1, is there any improvement?
There is almost flat, actually.
Okay.
So anyway, as I see, we are seeing as kind of bottoming out in trends, you know, so that's where it is. So we are expecting the term prices to improve over a period of time, because, you know, it's all bottomed out in the trend. So that's, we are expecting some outlook-wise, it seems better. Yeah, absolutely.
Understood, sir. And can you tell us what is the sales of the Vietnam plant this quarter?
So Vietnam plant, you see, it's around $5-6 million. See, I don't want to see, the point is too early days. You know, we come in somewhere in May and then, you know, so obviously, see, in a plant, in a new plant like this, see, the customer acquisition time is also there in terms of matching samples and all that. But we have made a healthy beginning in the sense. So the ramping up is now happening. So we have order book, complete up to almost up to Q4 of this year. So that way, you know, the quarter two may not be will not be the representative thing, because this has obviously taken some time to bring the, you know, get customers moving in with the orders.
Understood. Fair enough, sir. And lastly, if I do the console minus standalone, which is the subsidiaries, the gross margin has improved by 720 bips, and this is despite the higher trade spend in the EOC business. So what has driven this gross margin expansion?
No, one is overall cost. See, they get some advantage of, see, the dreams and all that they hold for, you know, longer periods, etc. No, so they will get the benefit of that cost. And definitely there has been, first of all, the one is, of course, the bag volume itself is higher, so there is some benefit on account of that. Then favorable overall cost, which includes, you know, overhead, green, everything put together. And also, this, you know, see, some of these, you know, slotting, etc., is not, because the previous year's quarter had some slotting for K-Cups and all, which is not there in the current year. So there has been some phasing of promotion costs, etc. All put together, 8 o'clock had a very good quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Jayan Manmania from Care Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
First, I'll congratulate for the best coffee, Indian coffee recognition for one of our garden.
Thank you very much, Jayan. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sir, can you tell something about that? How we achieved that?
The SACO had been there to receive the award.
Yeah, so it's from one of our estates, Suntikova. And primarily, these are this award was given by Ely Coffee, which is one of the biggest and the most prestigious roasters worldwide. And they pick up coffees, from all the coffee growing nations, and they have their internal tasting as well as some their customers to come and taste. So, you know, over 1,500 samples were tested that way. And then finally, I think there was a final function where they had got a mixture of both tasters as well as, people who end users, including chefs, to basically look at which is the best coffee. And we were fortunate that this year our coffee was actually chosen from that. So that's the story behind it.
Sir, will that impact positively on our business particularly that Gardens Coffee?
Yes, favorably it will impact because Hilli has been one of our key customers, and these kind of recognitions definitely improves the kind of mileage and visibility for the company's coffees.
And steadily has increased, they have steadily increased the quantum of purchases from us. So obviously when we talk about disintermediation and, you know, differentiation and premiumization, these are the things which will help us garner a higher price.
Okay. Sir, we see that the plantation sector is passing through a tough time. And sometime we read in the newspaper that coffee planters are demanding some MSP or subsidy from the government. Do you think anything can happen from on this side?
I am not sure any subsidy like that, minimum support and all that may not happen in that sense. But pepper, obviously, we are having a different issue altogether. On the pepper, we have been impacted by, you know, influx of, you know,
illegal
and unauthorized pepper from, say, Sri Lanka and, you know, Vietnam and all that. So, obviously, so those are, that's why the pepper prices are also subdued. And since we produce, we are the largest growers of pepper, so that way we are impacted to that extent. But obviously, I don't think any subsidies per se would, you know, come through in the sense that we expect. But definitely there are other, you know, kind of measures which we have represented to the government for all these illegal, stopping the illegal import of pepper into the country.
So the, as Venkat said, the best way forward is not actually the you know, subsidies or MSPs being put, but it is by ensuring that there is no illegal, you know, influx of pepper. So once that happens, actually, then the demand for Indian pepper goes up. The Indian pepper is definitely in quality much superior to any of these pepper coming from Vietnam, both in terms of the pepperine content and also the fact that it is devoid of, you know, some of these harmful chemicals. So that's the route forward in our opinion, which should be taken.
Sir, in this Vietnam plant, we have, as per auditor's report, we have achieved turnover of 25 crores and a loss of around 5.46 crores. So now for the coming quarters, we have good order book position. So can we consider that there will be a break-even in coming two quarters?
Yeah. See, now it's a question of, in terms of EBITDA and all, it's positive. Now it's a question of ramping up of production and sales, which has to happen. As regards any new plant, it takes some time to stabilize and all that. That phase is now over, so we are, and the order book is healthy. So going forward, we are definitely on a very, you know, kind of, you know, positive keel in terms of the Vietnam plant.
So at net level, will be positive in coming two quarters?
It should be, yes. We are expecting it to be.
Sir, you said that we are diversifying into avocado plantation. So can you share something about that?
So it's a pilot project which we have undertaken right now. We feel that there is a huge potential which exists with avocado, especially with the health benefits associated to it. We have obviously one of the largest assets is our land base, and we would like to utilize that in a better way to see whether it is not just avocado, there are other crops that we can diversify into. So I think the pilot project has already been initiated. The results seem quite positive, so I'm hopeful that and these are not purely Indian avocados. These have been actually imported, so the yields and quality and the shelf life is going to be substantially higher. So that's where we feel that this is going to be a good thing for the company.
So here we are targeting domestic market, or it will be for export market?
It can be both. It can be both. That's the reason why we have a higher and better shelf life. We were very keen on that, and that's the reason.
Uh-huh. Sir, last question. In 8 o'clock, how much is our branded sales and how much we do for private labeling?
No, the bulk of it is you know, branded volumes only, both on branded bags and all. The private label is not, you know, well, the exact numbers I can give you, but, you know, it is much lower in terms of percentages.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. You mentioned about in your opening remarks about the monsoon that earlier it was dry spell and later it was followed by very heavy monsoons. Do you see any impact of monsoons on overall industry crop as well as for our company, if you can specify?
So there will definitely be an impact on the overall crop. I don't want to hazard a guess in terms of what the overall impact numbers could be on the Indian coffee, but I do see there is an impact, and revision is going to be downwards, and in certain areas substantially so. As far as the company is concerned, I think while there is going to be an impact in the overall total crop, but I think we are also fairly well placed in terms of recovering some of this impact by way of cost savings and also by a higher percentage of our sales of these both Arabica and Robusta into premium differentiated customers. So I think that's the answer to your question.
Okay, because in one of our competitor con calls, we understand that they mentioned about some 20% fall in production expected for coffee production expected for next year.
So no, that was it's not. I don't think it is that extreme to us. We have much lower impacted, if at all. In the sense, we have. See, the point is that we also have extensive irrigation and all that. But obviously, with all these water loss, water is not the alone the issue. The issue is the one seasonal and all that. But we don't expect of those impacts in that sense.
And in overall, as I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of most of it will be made up by the efforts that we have taken in terms of costs and as I even the sales, the quality of sales.
Okay, sure. In terms of 8 o'clock, the margins improvement were visible in Q2. Do you expect the trend to continue? So the gross margins improvement to continue for the coming quarters, because as you said, coffee bean prices, etc., are still at the lower level only. So logically, that trend should continue.
Am I right? Directionally, yes. But then the issue is like this. I mean, the point we have to understand. They have their own, kind of plans regarding, promotions and all those trade and consumer and all that. So that we'll have to take into account. But obviously, I think 8 o'clock is having a, in terms of improved performance, that's what we are witnessing.
Okay. What would be the ad spend for 8 o'clock on a yearly basis?
Ad spend. He's asking ad spend. I'll have to get the exact number, Amit.
So a rough ballpark also would be okay. So in terms of as a percentage of sales, any rough ballpark number if you have anything in mind?
Just 100.
Yeah.
So the point is that I don't want to hazard a guess because some of these trade will get offset in the turnover and all that. Let's not. I don't want to give a fixed number on that because of various competitive reasons.
Sure, okay. Can you share some highlight on the trend in coffee prices which you see going forward?
So, largely what we, as I think Venkat did make a mention of it in the opening remarks, we do also see the bottoming out of these prices. Yes, as it exists today, coffee prices are possibly at the lowest in the last decade or so. However, the worst is over, in my opinion. We don't see a great upsurge in prices unless there is a weather event that takes place either in, say, Brazil or Vietnam. But in terms of consumption, and especially consumption within the growing countries itself, there seems to be a positivity there. So, overall, if you were to see, there is a positive messaging around the consumption element, And there is also the fact that, you know, the worst in terms of prices are done. I don't think it is going to really fall any further. No.
Okay. Okay. And so in terms of Vietnam capacity utilization, any ballpark number for H2?
No, no, we should be, we should be at 70-80% of the capacity. That's what we are expecting.
For H2 average, on an average, that is right?
For whole year, I'm saying. You know, but I don't want to... Yeah.
Full year, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush B. from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So, sir, for on our Vietnam plant, so what kind of revenues can we generate at full capacity and the margin profile?
No, thing is like this. See, we have earlier also in the analyst call, we have said we at the peak capacity of 5,000 tons, we should be in the range of around 380 to 400 crores. That's what we are expecting. Obviously, okay. It's ramping up and margins and all would take, you know, its own time to think. So definitely, you know, EBIT margins will be, you know, what we're expecting is in high double digits.
Okay.
That's where it is. So, it's too early days, so we don't want to get into a, you know, kind of specific number around that, but we are, right. That's what we are moving towards.
But sir, I just wanted to understand, have the margins in the freeze-dried segment as a whole started declining because of new capacities coming in?
It all depends on, you know, on the customer base and what kind of, you know, relationships you have and all that, which also play a part. Obviously, okay. Whichever is the, you know, product you take is some amount of fair amount of linkage to commodities there. But as we move up the value chain, that kind of, you know, kind of volatility or the kind of linkages would probably start declining also in some manner. So that's where it be. So obviously, you know, obviously capacities will come when the, you know, it will get stabilized and then freeze dried itself and globally has been growing at 1.5 to 2% per annum. So that way, that's, you know, on the premium end of what we are, you know, we are in.
Correct, correct. And sir, on the subsidiary front, sir, you mentioned certain reasons for your significant improvement in gross margins. Could you just repeat some of the reasons I missed those?
See, the overall cost, including green, is lower in either block. Then there is also a phasing of, you know, ad and consumer spends. These are the two broad reasons.
Okay, freight and overall and cost. Okay.
The volumes on the back, that's also contributing.
Okay. And on the sustainability of these margins?
That's what we are expecting directionally, as I explained, we hope to. But then obviously, you know, they have their own challenges in terms of how they grow in terms of spends on A&P promotions and all that. So that will also be a factor. But directionally, we are hoping that, you know, 8 o'clock seems to be doing well.
Correct. And sir, I just wanted to understand the volatility in coffee bean prices. So does it affect only our 8 o'clock or standalone business also?
No, standalone business also impacts. See, for us, the insulation is like this. Whatever, you know, improvements in the coffee price, I will take in a positive sense, whatever improvements in coffee prices favors, you know, does well for the plantation business. And
okay.
You know, we are able to offset it, through pricing for the instant coffee segment. So both are in that sense, in a way, you can say it's favorable. And
okay.
Any improvement in a 8 o'clock sense would be probably, you know, they have to look at in terms of what competition does in terms of pricing improvements and all that. But generally, you know, as the prices improve, you know, overall the business seems to benefit.
Okay. As the prices improve, overall the business,
yeah.
It's better. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayan Manmania from Care Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. One more question. Sir, you said that we have registered higher volumes across all the geographies, including 8 o'clock. So, is it due to lower prices or we have gained market share in the market?
No, on the domestic front, yes, we have, you know, registered higher volumes on the instant coffee front. And that is due to, you know, not really due to the lower pricing or anything. But then we have been able to get some new customers, etc., on different geographies.
and also a lot of work in terms of new product development, which is quite what the customer needed. Whatever they have been asking for, we've been able to actually try and replicate that to them. So that has also helped in terms of actually going to different...
And definitely we have not reduced prices to gain volumes, because we are also very conscious of the fact that we have to maintain margins. And I can also confidently say that whatever pricing we have get is also more or less in line or slightly better than competition. That's where it is.
So what about the 8 o'clock? There also we have gained in volume terms.
8 o'clock is the point is that there is no question of reduction of volumes and all. They have a fair play between the trade promos, what they do and pricing. And that's also, competition led in some manner in that sense. So definitely there is no reduction in prices per se to gain more volumes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Gagan Dareja from Kotak Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. So if I look at the standalone cash flow number, there is a significant jump in operating cash flow.
Yeah.
Most of it seems to come from an improvement in working capital, which in turn seems to come from increase in payables. So I'm just trying to understand what has changed here.
No, see the point is like that, working capital side, we sort of consciously we try to, improve the cash generation. Secondly, in terms of inventories, etc., now what is happening here is that definitely there have been the improved sales, the inventory is also lower, both on the green and the FG side. So that is having a positive impact.
Okay. So, the current sort of working capital improvement that you have managed is sustainable going into the future?
It's sustainable, yes. That's what we are trying to do, yeah.
Okay. So secondly, on the Vietnam plant, I think it was part funded by debt. So the debt is now completely reflected in your...
There is nothing there. All debt is all closed. There is nothing, no further debt. Except for the working capital, which they take and they square up
with
the local level.
Right. So, what is your thought process on your leverage? Do you want to? Is there a plan around, expediting the debt position and reducing the debt position on the books?
These are all long-term debt, it's all project debt, so that will get repaid over time as per the cash flows of the entity. So we are not seeing any... unusual kind of decisions required there, because this the venture is profitable on a standalone basis, so they will take care of the debt repayments.
Okay.
And standalone basis, there's no debt, hardly anything.
Mm-hmm. And on the Vietnam facility, which is entirely freeze dried, if you could give us some idea, of the competitive scenario in the market. In both the spray dried and the freeze dried, and what is the bearing of that on your sales and profitability? Because I presume Olam has increased capacity here, so has CCL, so the market has seen a jump in freeze dried capacity coming into the market.
So, yeah, this is Chaco here. So, yeah, I think there is, you're absolutely right, there have been several new plants that have come on stream, whether they are, but largely freeze-dried, and I'll restrict this discussion around freeze-dried alone. I think one thing that needs to be borne in mind is also the fact that there is also a very steady increase in terms of consumption too. So, if you would have believed the numbers, the consumption levels are anything between 2.5% to 3.5% on an annual basis. While the people that you spoke about have increased their capacity, there have also been some further discussions amongst other companies worldwide to put up facilities. So obviously, this augurs well in terms of it's a reflection of the kind of consumption forecast that people have in mind. Having said that, are there short-term competitive issues? Definitely there are. I mean, there would definitely be people trying to get into the same market where you are, or vice versa. What I think we as Tata Coffee have been able to do, and I don't know whether you've been following our narrative earlier, we're possibly one of the only companies which has a pilot plant in existence which allows us to do new product development consciously for our customers and be able to be, one up in terms of what we can deliver to some of these customers worldwide. The other one is also to actually aggressively look at geographies which were typically not, instant coffee or coffee drinking, which has also helped us. And the third one is to look at the emerging trend, both in terms of, say, mixes or, some of the new developments which have taken place in the world of coffee, and we there to be able to service these requirements. So this is the scenario as it exists today.
Okay, and from a policy perspective, there was some debate and discussion around import duty being waived for Brazilian manufacturers in EU, also because of a very strong coffee crop in Brazil. It seems that Brazilian manufacturers might, at least in the interim, become more competitive. Secondly, on MEIS benefits in India, there's supposed to be a reevaluation of MEIS benefits in a year's time from now. So on these two aspects, if you could sort of help us understand what's the impact currently on your P&L from MEIS, and on both these policy aspects, what's your thought process going ahead?
So on the MEIS front, yes, we have also been seeing the media reports and all that, but we are 8 years. The government has said that, they are coming out with a new scheme, the refund of taxes scheme. So we need to wait for what are the contours of that scheme before we make an impact. So, see, some of these, get factored into the, when we price the and all that, because obviously the buyer also knows that this is there and all that, he tries to factor into the pricing. Which obviously, if it is not there, then the question is the pricing should improve. That's a, straight away kind of thought process for us as that is concerned. But obviously, we'll have to wait for the new schemes and all that. Because right now, it's up to March. It is extended. Beyond that, they have to see as to, and I understand that the government has gone for some appeal and all that. So we'll have to wait to see as to what is the contours of the new scheme. On the Brazilian side, yes, Brazil, real and all the depreciation, etc., which keeps on, in terms of volumes. It's not the first time it's happening. So, but that is no, impact for us per se straight. The direct impact is not there. The 8 o'clock gets some benefit out of it if the prices, they are able to get green at lower prices. It will benefit to some extent depending on what the pricing, challenges are in the local market. So that's where it is.
From an import duty perspective, is there supposed to be a waiver for import duty on Brazilian products into EU?
No, we didn't hear.
There was a talk about the import duties being reduced for Brazilian coffee going into the EU. That you're absolutely right. That still hasn't been actioned upon, is the last report that we have got. And in terms of our, specifically to Tata Coffee, whether it is going to make that much of an impact, I really don't think that is going to be the case here, because we have actually long-term contracts with the suppliers whom we are supplying in the EU. So, yeah, and we also favorably, and fortunately for us, the decision to place our Vietnam plant or make a new plant in Vietnam also brings on to board some of the advantages of actually being able to, you know, sell from Vietnam, which has got a favorable duty structure with the EU.
Yeah, finally, could you enumerate the scale of MEIS benefits you receive annually and also the scale of your revenues in EU from soluble coffee?
No, I don't. So the soluble coffee revenue, I don't think we have, we may be able to do that immediately. MEIS, see, we get, the point is that we get, you know, 5% for the green and all that, and 7% or 5 to 7, between 5 and 7 percentage. So that obviously will be translating into 15 crores, something like that, on those numbers in that sense.
Just
fire amount of offset will come in case of refund of duties and all that. So what is the new scheme?
Just a hypothetical question. If the MEIS benefits were extinguished and, you know, you were not to see them come back in another form, from a competitive standpoint, would Indian suppliers, you know, significantly lose ground to a Vietnamese or a Brazilian supplier in such a scenario?
No, we don't foresee that, because I'll tell you why, one or two reasons. One, these origins are also, see, certain markets, they prefer certain origins. See, some of these customers are also, you know, sticky customers over long periods of time. And some of them, you know, the way they go about in their, you know, private level business, the origin, you know, suppose they get into the Indian origin, they stay with it. So they won't see, because the type of coffees and the taste profile of an Indian, Indian instant coffee and Brazilian coffee would be different in that sense, from the palate side of it, sensory and palate. So that way, you know, it is not that easily switchable that one fine morning, you know, the buyers would stop buying from instant India and all that. That's not going to be the case, because there are, you know, different factors in play there.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had one question. So basically our value-added production segment is stable and is doing well. A lot of volatility is in the plantation side. Some years are good, some years are bad. Would it not be prudent to, so we would have land bank and all those things, but would it not be prudent from a shareholder point of view to sell the plantation and be only in the value-added segment, which is more stable? So is there any plan, or do you
see the point,
all those?
I don't see the point. See, there have been years in which, you know, the oil, we understand that volatility, but that is, but, you know, I don't think we control, you know, volatility in terms of crop or the currency and all that is difficult to do. So every business in terms of that sense, you know, would be volatile to some extent, because even a FMCG player, when they buy, for example, you take Tata Global, they also buy tea in a large sense. No, so obviously, tea prices go up, there's an impact. The prices go down, there's an impact. So these are all, we'll have to live with these kinds of volatility in that sense. So,
but
secondly, plantations, you know, if you take an overall 5 to 10 year time frame, they have delivered positive returns. So for one, definitely there is, coffee, as the coffee industry or coffee plantations per se is not, you know, is not that impacted as the tea. So coffee has been generating positive returns. It's, you know, and India also produces just 2% of the coffee production, and, you know, in a different, you know, is not comparable to tea in that sense, where we have a smaller portfolio there. So definitely, and thirdly, not to forget, pepper is a high margin business for us. Yeah, we have been seeing the last, if you take the 5 years, pepper, except for an odd year like last year when we had a huge impact on crop, the other years pepper has been quite positive and generates, you know, fairly decent, you know, substantial profits for us from the plantation business. So to that extent, and then the question is also about, and let's not forget that we are one of the largest landowners also, you know, we have about 8,000 hectares, 8,000 plus 10,000 hectares of land. It is also amenable to alternate crops, which Chaco mentioned about avocado. So those kinds of possibilities are there. So I don't think it's fair to, and lastly, let me also tell you. See, we are the sole suppliers of Arabica, premium Arabica beans to Tata, Starbucks, stores in India, who are aggressively expanding. So there are so many pluses for the plantations, and in particular coffee, and this is a very diversified mix what we have, like a coffee, pepper, and tea to some smaller extent, which of course we don't want to talk much about it, because the tea itself has been going through some stress, which we are trying to, you know, recraft our strategy towards that. So obviously, so tea, you know, and the plantations per se is not, you know, is a, obviously, see, if you buy, and then if you, you know, talk about the, you know, the timber wealth and all that stuff, there, you know, there are so many n number of positives on the plantation side. Yes, they are volatile, but that's, you know, that one has to live with and learn how to manage that.
No, sir, but in terms of numbers, sir, the plantation profitability is hardly anything. Even if we add the bull year and the bad year, good year and the bad year, the profitability is not there, considering the investments we have made. And also, the instant coffee business is mostly cost plus basis model, where the margins are more or less stable. They may be a couple of percentage points up or down. So the plantation business will not add as such value to our instant coffee business. So my point was on that side, because the return on equity or the return on capital employed in the plantation side is very poor.
I agree, you see, some extent in the sense, returns in that sense, but returns over a period you have to see. And secondly, let's not forget all the other points I mentioned. And thirdly, you see, the plantation profitability which you see for the last 2-3 years, no, one has to see, you look at it, prior to 2016-17 and all, that's a 16-17 Ind AS transition, with 15-16-14-15 and all, plantations have delivered healthy, you know, kind of numbers. In fact, there have been years, I think, the operating profit was in the range of 40 to 50 crores also in plantations. So I think, you know, maybe basing it on last 2-3 years may not be right, because last 2-3 years has been impacted by crop, etc., which is there. In fact, and not to forget, see, our plantations also, tea on tea front, we are incurring losses, okay, on the animalized tea, which we have taken some corrective steps in that sense. So when you say the plantation specifically, you have to separate out the coffee, pepper, coffee plus pepper and tea. On tea, there are some losses which we are trying to, correct by taking various steps. And the coffee and pepper, we have been, you know, I don't think the returns, of course, they can be compared to an instant coffee business or any other white clock business in that sense, but returns are generally definitely not in that scale of returns. But we have to separate out like this. So I don't think it's good to put everything in a basket and see.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Deval Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the outlook for instant coffee, consumption in the global market. So what is your outlook for the same, sir?
Yeah, so as I mentioned a little while back, the consumption still continues to rise by anything between 2.5% to 3.5%, depending on whom you're actually talking to. But the consumption is a steady increase. There is no slowing down of consumption. And I think the other point which I tried to make earlier was about the newer geographies which have actually moved into consumption of instant coffee from the traditional ones. And the fact that there has also been a fair amount of NPD which has taken place in terms of, mixes, in terms of cold brews, which are all part of the instant coffee stable. So consumption continues to be, and we are very confident that it will continue to rise.
And the second thing, sir, this new freeze dried capacity in Vietnam. So which markets are we targeting? Is it Europe or US?
Not US. It's primarily Japan and Europe. That's some Southeast Asia will be there.
Oh, and so why not US, sir?
US is not an instant coffee play. It's more of an RNG.
And whatever little the thing is there is also largely on the spray dried and the agglomerated type of coffees. I mean, instant coffee. So the freeze-dried play is limited there.
Okay. And so are we seeing any, surplus in the instant coffee market?
Sorry.
Are we seeing any?
surplus. Because demand is going well at, let's say, 3 to 5%, maybe 2.5 to 3%.
No, surplus is very difficult. See, depends, all these capacities, if at all they have come, and they always could be in different stages of implementation and all that. So obviously there will be always, new players coming, some players going out and all that in the sense. So, we don't see in a surplus which is more, which is to extend that it will probably, upset the kind of, demand in that sense. But demand is healthy.
Okay. And so just last thing, regarding the coffee prices, so it was down on a YY basis. So how much in terms of percentage that it was down?
Percentage would be around 5.
Yeah, it's about 10%. 10%. Definitely 10%. It was 120 or
20. Okay, so it was around 10%.
Yeah, good.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and 1. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and 1. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Jain from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. So could you tell me the size of the Indian instant coffee market?
Indian instant coffee market?
Yeah, the domestic market.
So the domestic market, I think, just one second. I have. Give us a little bit of time. I think we can get back to you. Maybe in course of the call, we can share that.
So I have a number. Is 2,000 crore the right amount? Is it my understanding correct? 2,000 crore?
I think I need to come back on this.
Yeah, because we have very less sale of instant coffees in India per se. What we have, we manufacture Tata Coffee Grand for Tata Global, which they distribute.
Okay.
So that's the reason.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeet Gala from Centra Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Sir, what kind of arrangement do we have with Starbucks? As in, we do the roasting and, sell the beans to them? I mean, what kind of arrangement we have with them?
Sir, well, the overall arrangement is a cost-plus markup. That's all I can tell you, because these are all private, information between the company.
Okay. But basically, we just do roasting, right?
Yeah, we do roasting and pack it and give it to them, yeah.
Okay. And for roasting, the beans are sourced from outside, or it's the captive beans of
our own beans?
Our own beans. Okay.
Our own plantation beans.
Okay. And so one more thing, with respect to our instant coffee business, in that we don't use any of our captive beans,
right? No, we don't use. We import the beans, because these are all EOU, so we are doing it on a value-added basis. So we import the beans from different origins, which are suited for the instant coffee.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much. And it was nice interacting with the analysts. So thank you very much once again from both me and Chuck.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.